Good evening, everyone. It is a pleasure and a blessing to be back here and to be able to see all of you. I wanted to thank you for letting me come here and preach a small portion of the Word of God to you tonight. Now, I was tasked with closing out this quarter, I suppose. And I heard that we were going over the acceptable church, correct? Assembled church. The assembled church. And if you remember from this morning, we had discussed and talked about how Christ, He is our high priest, and how He had sacrificed not only His will to be able to sacrifice the old law, His will and His... He had sacrificed His will to be pure and just, to be able to sacrifice the old law. And now what I was wanting to talk about tonight is how we pay that back. How are we, what are we as the church, as Christ's church, supposed to sacrifice for Him? Now, I was discussing this topic with Brother Obed, I would say about a week ago, and I thought, what better place to go to discuss our sacrifices than the book in the Old Testament where sacrifices had been oriented into their modern-day lives in the Old Law. Let's go to the book of Leviticus. Book of Leviticus. You see, just a brief overview of the entire book of Leviticus. I have learned that there are some words in here that really peek out to me. They are constantly said. If you ever come upon these words, the word holy, holiness, or sanctify, those words are used 152 times all throughout the book of Leviticus. The word atonement, used at least 45 times throughout the book of Leviticus. And the word unclean is used 132 times all throughout the book of Leviticus. Now, the repetition of these words kind of piqued something in my mind. Why are these subjects in this book? Why are they so important? If they're being repeated over and over and over again in this book. Well, I will say the main points of this book. I'll say there are four. Four main points of the entire book of Leviticus. And the first is a reminder to the people of Israel at that time and to us today. It is a reminder that God is holy. That God is holy. Second, if you remember back in the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, where God brought the Israelites out of the land of Egypt and He had made them His sacred and holy people, His chosen people, it is a reminder to them that they are holy because their God is holy. But I also feel that it is an instruction guide. It was an instruction guide, rather, of how the Israelites could be holy. How to properly be holy. Will you go with me, please, to Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus chapter 11, I'll be reading verses 44 and 45. Leviticus chapter 11, verses 44 and 45. Apologize. Paige still gets stuck in this thing. For I am the Lord your God, you shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy. For I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth. For I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. And you see, all throughout the book of Leviticus, this is repeated. This phrase is repeated constantly. It is also an instruction guide to the priests on how to keep things holy. If you remember in Leviticus chapter 1, the entirety of chapter 1, of chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, pretty much 1 through, I'll say 11, are laws and instructions on how to sacrifice and what to sacrifice. You may be asking, why are you bringing this up? Why are you just giving a brief overview of Leviticus? We'll get to that. Let's fast forward to today. What are things in our lives as Christians that we need to be willing and able to sacrifice out of our lives, to be able to cut out of our lives? I will say, first and foremost, our lusts. Our lusts, our worldly lusts and wants. Let's go to John, the book of John. John chapter 14, just to make a statement. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, I'll read a very quick and swift verse 15. What does that say there? If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, here's my question. What are Christ's commandments? What are Christ's commandments? His teachings. What are Christ's teachings? Go to Matthew 13. Now, I'm not going to read this entire chapter, but I just want you all to see something. Matthew 13 is a very useful chapter in the book of Matthew. You see, all throughout this chapter, we are given parables that are taught by Christ about the kingdom, about how it is coming, about what it is like, about how it will be here on this world. I implore you all, read through this chapter one day. Study through it. See what Christ is talking about in these words. It is beautiful. Let's go back to Leviticus. Go back to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 20. Listen to these words. Verses 6 through 8. Leviticus chapter 20, verses 6 through 8. And the person who turns to mediums and familiar spirits to prostitute himself with them, I will set my face against that person and cut him off from his people. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my statutes and perform them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. He sets us apart from this world. Let's go back to the New Testament. Let's fast forward. Christ's commandments were passed on from his time on this world. They were passed on to the apostles. And the apostles taught through letters and teachings and all sorts of beautiful, beautiful and interesting ways. You'll go with me to Galatians. Book of Galatians. Excuse me. Let's go first to Matthew. Matthew chapter 12. Begin in verse 43. Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 43. Listen to these words. Think about how they're meaning. And think about their meanings. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put it in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it be also if the wicked of this. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. Now, let's go to Galatians. Let's go to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Now these unclean spirits, these addictions, these lusts, these things that are in our lives that are hindering us from being clean, from being pure, what are these? I apologize, I wrote down the wrong verse. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We need to be able to sacrifice these things out of our lives, these addictions, this drunkenness, this uncleanness, this lewdness. We need to be able to notice that these things are within us and cut them out of our lives. But just as we read back in Matthew chapter 12, we need to be able to replace these things. We cannot just leave our house, our soul empty, our bodies, our time empty. We need to replace these things. Let's jump up to verse 16. Jump up to verse 16 of Galatians 5. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Let's jump down. Now, what are we supposed to fill ourselves with? Let's go to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, listen to these words, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. We are to fill our lives with these things, with these fruits of the Spirit, with love, with joy, with peace, with patience. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll be beginning in verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not health. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Foods for the stomach, and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. For do you know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Listen to this verse right here. Verse 19, listen to this. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you were not your own? Listen to that. We are not our own. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So these lusts of the flesh, these things, these are addictions, are wants, our worldly wants. If they are harming our body, if they are harming our faith, we have to remember our body is not ours. Our spirit is not ours. We should be willing to sacrifice these things out of our lives. As much as they have become a part of our lives, as much as they have incorporated themselves into our lives, we must be willing and able to cut them off. Go back to Leviticus. Let's go to chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. Very short verse. Very brief and very to the point. Like I said, this phrase is repeated all throughout the book of Leviticus. Chapter 19, verse 2. Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy for your God, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Let's keep reading. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols, nor make for yourselves molded gods. I am the Lord your God. And if you offer a sacrifice of peace offering to the Lord, you shall offer it of your own free will. Shall be eaten. Oh, wait, ignore that. I apologize. I did not mean to read that one. If you remember, the reason we still have the Old Testament today is for our learning. And I present to you all tonight that those verses right there still apply to us. Verse 4. I'm going to read that one more time. Do not turn to idols, nor make for yourselves molded gods. I am the Lord your God. Remember me. Now, the book of Leviticus, as I said earlier, the first few chapters is like an instruction manual to the Levitical priests. And if you remember, in, I believe it is 2 Peter, let's turn there. Second Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3. No. 1 Peter chapter 3. Begin in 18, verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached the Spirit. Excuse me. I am so sorry. You know what? I'll come back to that. The verse where it says that we are a holy priesthood. We are a holy priesthood in this time, in this day, and in this age because of Christ, our high priest, as we spoke of this morning. Now, the reason I was wanting to bring that up, in the book of Leviticus, we are given a list of these sacrifices and how they were conducted. And for a mental image and a mental picture, I'm wanting to use those sacrifices. Use these animals that were sacrificed for the Lord in the Old Testament just merely for a mental image for us today. You see, I went through and I found some of these animals, these creatures, these beasts. I went through their symbolisms, their geological applications, their how they were raised, what they meant to the people of Israel. Now let's go through the bull, one of the first offerings that were mentioned in Leviticus, the bull. The bull, it represented anger, strife, spite, malice. So how can we flip that? How can we turn that to today? First scripture, let's go to Proverbs. So I'm not going to be able to read all of these, but Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29. I might want to write these down. Chapter 14, verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. We'll read that one. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So forgiveness, love. I think about Hebrews 1:1. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 13:4. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. That is what love is. So when we put aside our anger, when we put aside our spite, replace that with love. We slaughter our bull, replace that with love. Then we have the sheep, or the male sheep rather. The ram, his rambunctiousness, as some may say. Acting before you speak. Acting before you think. Speaking before you think. I apologize. Let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Read verse 18. Proverbs 16, 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. See, that is what rambunctiousness is, putting our pride first. You see, the ram, the male sheep, and the goat, they go hand in hand in that. That is what they represented. They represented their pride. Look at my horns. Cut that out of your life. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes 5. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 2. Ecclesiastes 5, beginning in verse 2. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. And then there was one more beast, one more animal. That is the turtle dove. There is nothing about this bird that is negative in any way, except this. It represented faith. It represented trust, and it represented love. And when it was sacrificed in the Levitical law, during that time, Leviticus chapter 1, it was of the burnt offerings, of course, but in Leviticus chapter 1, it was described to us how it was sacrificed. about how its feathers were plucked out, about how it would be cast into the fire. If we do not have our faith, if we do not have our trust, if we do not have our love in our God, will that not be us? Will that not be us? The last verse, I promise. Philippians, book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. And I close with this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So to close out tonight, sacrifice our lusts, sacrifice our worldly wants for Christ. Because in Him, through Christ, we have this peace of mind. We have this thanksgiving. We have salvation. He has sacrificed all of this for us. He is our high priest in every way and manner. Now it is our job to go out and be His priest with Him. Once we sacrifice these lusts, once we sacrifice these worldly wants, we can get to work. Thank you all for your time. Will you please stand as we sing?